spirit of Thanksgiving, today we're going to be talking about what we have to be thankful for when it comes to terrorism. Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, a psychiatrist and your terrorist therapist. I'm here to help you and your family reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror. Well, I hope you all had a happy Thanksgiving, and I hope you made a list of things that you should be grateful for. That's always something that is so valuable. You know, we hear about making New Year's resolutions. Well, at least as important is making a list, a gratitude list for Thanksgiving. Because the more grateful you are for things that you already have in your life, people, you know, not necessarily monetary things, but just all the blessings that you have, then what happens is you get more of it, because the universe realizes that you appreciate it, or God, or however you like to think about this, the higher power. Well, today I'm going to be talking about what we have to be thankful for in regard to terrorism. Now, you may be thinking, I know what you're thinking, what? Thankful? There's nothing about terrorism that I have to be thankful for. I wish it didn't exist, right? Well, I'm going to talk about some things that we do, in fact, some current things that we do, in fact, have to be thankful for. Now, the first one in regard to terrorism, the first one is the Thanksgiving parade, that there wasn't a terror attack. That is becoming increasingly more incredible with each year. Now, you may have seen, hopefully you watched some of the Thanksgiving parade. I did. You know, I'm a born and bred New Yorker, so what's Thanksgiving without the Thanksgiving parade? But, so you might have seen, as I did, some police being interviewed about the security that there is for the day. And this, it seemed like this Thanksgiving, they had more security than ever. I mean, that's what they were saying, that they've learned from what happened in Europe and what's happened in various places all over the world, as far as how attacks have been happening and what has been done to increase security. And so they put all of these things together and they figured out new and improved ways to create security for the Thanksgiving parade. And he was talking about how, you know, you see lots of policemen around in the crowd, and they cordoned off the whole parade. So they were saying, you know, you see lots of policemen around amongst the people in the crowd, but there are lots of police who you don't realize are police, you know, people who are dressed in a way to disguise that they are police. And that's all well and good. And presumably they also had some bomb sniffing dogs. But, you know, the truth is that if there was a terrorist bent on doing something to disrupt the parade and kill lots of people and injure lots of people, I mean, it could have been done. So it really is something to be thankful for that it wasn't. I mean, somebody could, and I'm not giving terrorists any ideas, these are things they've done before, but somebody could have in a backpack, backpacks of course are a little suspicious these days, but a purse, you know, a little old lady with a little old purse that some terrorist either is dressed as or convinced to carry a bomb, or, you know, even nowadays, just knives or guns. I mean, did everybody in Manhattan have to pass through some kind of equipment to determine whether they were carrying something like that? And then they did cordon off the area. And what was interesting, you know, this is something they learned, they put trucks around the general area, surrounding the area, so that if there was a plan to have a car or truck ramming attack, that would have been very difficult to do with these barriers of sand trucks, huge trucks carrying lots of sand. So that was really brilliant. I mean, it was a lot of brilliance that that they used, a lot from what they've learned and so on. But seriously, if a terrorist wanted to do something, they could have, and thank goodness that they didn't. So we should all be thankful for that. Now, another thing that we should be thankful for is that in the U.S. in general this past week, there was no terror attack. And we can be thankful, getting back to New York City, we can be thankful that the terrorist who committed the Halloween terror attack, Saifulo Saipov, the 29-year-old man, who killed 8 people and injured a dozen others as he drove a rented pickup truck down towards the World Trade Center on Halloween. You know, it's great that, great, it's relatively better that he didn't kill or injure more, certainly. But this isn't counting, you know, in the indictment that I'll tell you about, that's what we should be thankful for, the fact that he was just indicted. But in this indictment, there is no charge for causing PTSD to people. Besides the people that he killed and injured, he affected many, many more by their developing PTSD in reaction to his attack. Notably, especially the kids who were in the bus that the terrorist rammed into accidentally. He didn't want to be stopped by the bus, but it was a special needs bus carrying kids and teachers. 2 of the children were injured, 2 of the teachers were injured. Certainly all of the children on the bus and the children in the schools around Ground Zero, around this attack, are suffering from PTSD. It may not be obvious yet, but it will soon be obvious. The 22-count indictment charges Saipov with 8 counts of murder in aid of racketeering, 12 counts of attempted murder in aid of racketeering, 1 count of providing and attempting to provide material support to ISIS, and 1 count of violence and destruction of a motor vehicle. So, you know, he's told investigators, he's flaunted it, you know, he's so proud of what he did. He was shot, but he was shot, and then he was taken by ambulance to Bellevue, where he was then operated on and, you know, healed, or is healing, unlike the people he killed. But he's proud of his doing this because he was inspired by ISIS. And he wants an ISIS flag in his room. He asked for that. And he told the investigators that he was inspired by ISIS videos to use a truck. Like, he had been planning this attack, in reports it says, for a year, but he decided to use the truck as the weapon of choice 2 months before the attack. And that was because of being inspired, the mode of attack being inspired by ISIS. Now, on 2 of his cell phones, they found about 90 videos and 3,800 pictures, many of which were ISIS propaganda. So, and he's admitted, I mean, he's flaunting this, he's so proud of it. He said that he was motivated to proceed with his plan after he watched a video of the ISIS leader, the main ISIS leader, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, who was questioning, quote, what Muslims in the United States and elsewhere were doing to respond to the killing of Muslims in Iraq. He thought about putting an ISIS flag on the truck, but then he decided not to do that because it would draw too much attention to himself. And he's going to be in federal court on November 28th, so very soon, on these charges. Now, I came across a story that is really fascinating about someone, a man, Damien Erskine. He's a 34-year-old British graphic designer who came to the East Coast with his girlfriend because they were attending a friend's wedding in New York. Now, on October 26th, so that's 5 days before the Halloween terror attack, they ordered an Uber from Newark International Airport. And lo and behold, as they realized only later, after hearing about the attack and the person who committed the attack on British television, you know, once they returned to London, it turned out that the Uber driver was Saifulo Saipov, the terrorist. Now, he described Saipov as, quote, very friendly and a perfectly normal guy. He described how Saipov took the bags from his girlfriend and loaded them up in the car, offered them water as they entered a white Toyota minivan, which is the vehicle that authorities later found at the Home Depot in New Jersey, because that was where he rented the truck for the attack. Now, this man, this Brit who called the Uber, said that Saipov was chatty during the ride. And the ride was over an hour, and they were going to Rockaway in New Jersey. And he said that Saipov talked about real estate prices in Manhattan versus London. He talked about how much he admired Range Rovers and said he hoped to own one someday. Now, just think about that. That's so amazing because, here he's planning, was he planning to do it 5 days before? It certainly seems that he, there have been reports that he purposely chose Halloween because he thought there would be a lot of people in the street trick-or-treating. But so it's 5 days before, and yet he's still talking about how he hopes to have a Range Rover one day. And he talked about how he was a truck driver, and this Brit thought that the terrorist was totally normal, and that he didn't get a vibe that he was a terrorist. And he said that Saipov didn't mention religion or politics, and he wasn't critical of the U.S. in any way. He spoke good English, and then the couple returned to the U.K. on the morning. They left the East Coast on the morning of Halloween, the same day. And then when they landed, they saw the news about what was happening in Lower Manhattan. And he said, so we think, yeah, we were there. We were by the World Trade Center. And he said they had a really weird feeling. But it wasn't until later that they began to piece together that it was the guy who had driven their Uber. And he checked his receipt to make sure. And yes, indeed, Saipov's name was on his Uber receipt. So he and his girlfriend are still shaken by this experience. He said that they felt sick after they heard about the attack. And they, of course, they keep going over their ride and just asking themselves, was there anything that we should have suspected and called authorities about? When he, in London, when he was, when he figured out that it was his Uber driver, he contacted the American, the U.S. authorities in Britain and told them about his experience, like, in case that would be helpful in any way. So that's one thing. Another thing to be thankful of, that the Halloween terrorist is being indicted. Now, another thing to feel thankful about, just before doing this podcast, there was news all over the internet about a possible terror attack in London. And it was a panic. And it turns out that people, lots of people called in to their 911 to report shots being fired. But in fact, at least so far, the police have not found any evidence of any shots or any people being injured. There was one lady who was injured in the stampede, but nothing in relation to a terrorist. But they responded right away as if it were a terrorist attack, because that's what everybody expected. So when it turns out, at least from some of the witnesses, it turns out that there was a fight. There's no, as of right now, there are no reports of what the fight was about or, any details about that. Perhaps we will have them later. But there was a fight on the platform at the Oxford Circus tube station. And there were around 50 or 100 people who gathered around this fight. There was someone on the ground, at least one person on the ground, and all of this upset the children who were around there. And of course, you know, it's also Black Friday in London, and, you know, it's before Christmas, and, you know, everybody is, there were tons and tons of people in this shopping district, you know, in the tube station and in the shops above, by shopping for Christmas presents, holiday presents. So these kids were amongst all the people who gathered around, and they started screaming and running, and it just started a stampede. And this is because the people in London are so on edge, you know, even though they try to walk around, certainly stiff upper lip and all of that, and but they've had so many attacks in the last year that, of course, if someone yells shots or they think they hear shots, we still don't know what that noise was, but if people think that, they're going to panic. So for about 85 minutes, there was panic in the Oxford Circus tube and above ground in that general area. And so you know, the what was kind of an interesting situation is that some of the stores told people, or people ran into the stores when they got up from the tube station in this stampede. More people stampeded in the street because the people were coming up from the tube station in a panic. And so people ran into the stores. And what's kind of interesting is that some of the stores let the people take shelter, encourage the people to come in and take shelter. But then there was a store, Selfridges, which I've been into many times. It's kind of an upmarket department store. And in there, the people were ordered to leave. Now, you know, that isn't quite clear who decided to do that or why, or whether they were afraid all these people were going to steal things, you know, in this sort of panic mode and stampede with these expensive things on the counters and Selfridges. But I don't know, that seems like a rather selfish, not altruistic kind of, it's understandable, but really you want to send your shoppers out into the street where they could, you know, be killed by a terrorist. I mean, at that point, it wasn't clear whether they're where the terrorist was, if there was a terrorist, what was going on. So now it's interesting that this area is near the London Palladium, or I should say the London Palladium is near Oxford Circus. And Prince William and Kate are supposed to be attending a performance, Royal Variety performance at the London Palladium. And as of this last report, they were still planning on going. Now, you know, again, it's understandable that Londoners are jumpy because there were so many attacks this year, especially using vehicles to hit pedestrians on Westminster Bridge, London Bridge, outside of London Mosque, and so on. And at a tube station, a different tube station. And then, of course, in Manchester, the bombing of the Ariana Grande concert. So people are kind of on edge, looking sort of complacent or at least stiff upper lip. And then there's this, you know, panic stampede over what turned out to be probably a fight, you know, nothing to do with terrorism. How long is it going to take before that is what happens in the States? I think probably not that much longer. Now, so these are things that we should be thankful for. But in another place in the world, there is less to be thankful for. In Egypt, a mosque had the biggest, I mean, it's being reported as the biggest terror attack, with the most casualties. There are over 200 people who were killed and over 100 who were wounded. There are even some reports giving greater numbers than that. I mean, it always takes a while to, this just happened today, and it always takes a while to get the exact figures. So what happened, and they think so far no one has claimed responsibility, but they believe that it's ISIS, because there have been problems with ISIS and ISIS sect or segment in Egypt before. I mean, there's known to be a kind of group of ISIS-inspired terrorists. And, you know, and this, by the way, this goes to the point of how Muslims are often the targets of terrorists themselves. And so, you know, lest anyone, I mean, that's kind of another reason why we shouldn't be Islamophobic. The planning that went into this attack of the mosque in Egypt is amazing, because first what they did was, the terrorists, they first blocked the escape routes by blowing up cars and leaving the burning wrecks blocking the roads. Or I shouldn't say first what happened was that they had a bomb. They surrounded the mosques with all-terrain vehicles, and they planted a bomb outside the mosque. So, you know, that wasn't very difficult to do. And then when the worshipers, there were 300 people in the mosque worshiping at the time. And so, of course, when the bomb went off, the worshipers tried to flee. And that was their second plan, the terrorist's second plan of attack. That when these worshippers tried to flee, they mowed them down with guns, with, you know, shooting them. And they also they were shooting from four vehicles, and then they blocked off the escape routes from the area by blowing up cars and leaving the burning wrecks blocking the roads. So they had a bomb at the mosque. The people ran out, they shot the people who were running out, and then they also blocked people from leaving by blowing up cars, burning cars that then blocked the roads. So this was a very well-planned attack. And there has been a four-year insurgency by Islamist extremist groups, but this is the worst attack that they've ever had. This was a mosque where there were particularly Sufis who were praying there. Now, Sufism is Islamic mysticism. It's a kind of Islam. Most of them are Sunni Islamists, and it's a kind of mystical aspect of Islam, and they don't hurt anybody. this isn't, but ISIS doesn't like them because they believe that they worship saints and shrines. And for certain Islamists, this is like idolatry. They consider them infidels, you know. So even within the Muslim religion, there are factions, in other words, that hate each other. There are some factions, like the ISIS-related factions, that are violent about it and create attacks. So here these people were, I mean, that's, you know, it's kind of like the church, that with a recent church attack in Texas, where, if to me, that is just, That is just the worst, to be praying to whatever God, whether you're praying to an Islam God or a Catholic God, Protestant, whatever kind of God, for you to be in your house of worship, which should be the safest, most sacred place for you in the world, whatever your religion is, for people to come and commit violence, to kill and injure people who are in their house of worship, is just the worst. Because, it not only is it bad, of course, for the victims and the victims' families, but it has a ripple effect on all of us. It kind of makes people think, well, you know, is there a God? Whatever kind of God, you know, is there Muhammad? Is there whatever kind of God you want to believe in? Is there really a God who will protect me? I mean, here I am praying to the God, and I'm killed, or I'm injured, or my loved one is killed or injured. There's just something particularly inhumane about that and dreadful about that. And as I said, it has a ripple effect, making other people just wonder if they can or should believe in whatever their religion is. So in conclusion, we need to be thankful that, as I said, the terrorist parade, the fact that the New York Halloween terrorist is being indicted, the fact that the questionable attack in London turned out to be a false alarm, and that we were not in the mosque in Egypt. But of course, we have to feel most compassion, a lot of compassion for the people who were and who are their relatives or loved ones. So what does this mean in addition to things that we need to be thankful for in relation to terrorism? It means that we do need to be vigilant, that it is likely that one day it will come to pass that in America we will, you know, be easily driven into a stampede, just like the people in London, because even though we walk around in this complacency and our heads in the ground, really deep down, unconsciously, we may not be quite as scared as Londoners who had so many attacks in the past year, but we are aware. But while it is relatively calm like this, where we are, this is the perfect time to be talking to your children about terrorism. Kids are going to see the reports tonight about the Egypt, about all of the things that I was just talking about. There, that's going to be on, these are top news stories, and kids are going to be seeing these. And in order for them to keep some sense of calm themselves and not be in a panic, this is the time to be explaining to them. And this is why I wrote my book, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror. And this is a time of terror, whether we're in London or Egypt or wherever we are in the world, this is a time of terror. So let me give you my website addresses so that you can find out more about, well, first of all, so that you can write to me, contact me, ask me questions. I will read your letters in subsequent shows. My website is www.terroristtherapist.com, terroristtherapist.com. My Facebook page, if you just put in terrorist therapist, you will come to my page. Check that out. I always post timely articles and things that you know, that you will find of interest, that relate a psychological perspective on terrorism. And then my book is in wherever books are sold, but the easiest, what you can find out more information about it, not only from my website, but also the website of the publisher, which is terrorismforkids.com. Terrorism, the number 4kids.com. Thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving, and I hope I've given you more things to be thankful for.